There are people who know a lot about Iraq and are deeply skeptical, if not scathingly critical, of U.S. policy there and of the Iraqis who now serve as the country's leaders. William Polk, for one. He went to the country more than 50 years ago. He studied the country, its language, history, and politics. He came home to the U.S. to teach at Harvard, later at the University of Chicago. In the 1960s, he served at the State Department. In his new book, Understanding Iraq, William Polk says he worries, and I'm quoting, that the current period of Iraq's history without a dictator may turn out to have been only an interval between this dictator and the next. William Polk, why are you worried about the return of dictatorship to Iraq?
I think the main problem is that Iraq is a wounded society. It's gone through a series of terrible foreign invasions, of control by outsiders, of dictatorships, one after another, and it has never managed to create a civic society, so that the emphasis right now on creating security has forced the American government, and to some extent the British government, into emphasizing military control. We have somewhere between 20 and 30,000 foreign mercenaries in Iraq. We have a very large army, 130 or so thousand, and we're trying to build a new Iraqi army. And if you look back over recent history, you see that what's happened is that time after time, a strong man has arisen in the army or with the army's help and has taken over the country. So I think that the great danger is that while there will be a period of confusion and chaos and when the United States finally opts to leave, if there hasn't been a strong move toward the recreation of democracy in the only way that Thomas Jefferson knew how to do it, which was from the grassroots up, we can look forward to a period ahead that has everything in it that we really don't want.
Well, advocates or defenders of U.S. policy would say that the National Assembly and the government that has now emerged from it came out of an election that took place, and many, many Iraqis and most Iraqi communities took part in that election.
That's true, but I think we have to be a little bit skeptical about two things about it. First of all, it wasn't an election of the kind that we know anything about. Each ethnic community voted for itself, so that you had not individual policies or individual people being voted on, but you had basically the Kurds voting for the Kurds and the Shiites voting for the Shiites, and the Sunnis, of course, standing aside and not taking part. What that means is that, particularly take the Shia community, the leader of the Shia community, Ayatollah Sistani, simply ordered his people to go out under pain of hell, in effect, to vote. So that you had a highly mobilized, basically unfree process in which that whole community was voting for itself. The second thing that bothers me very much is that I think the most important thing that America has been able to do over its long history is to stand for something. And what it stood for was the aspirations, the decent aspirations of people toward a life of freedom and expression and control of their own fate. And if we allow what we believe to be the most important of our national heritages to be somehow demeaned by calling things that are really not democratic, democratic, we have actually hurt ourselves in the world, perhaps irreparably.
You would like to see an American de Gaulle approach Iraq as he approached Algeria. The fear you would hear many people express in Washington would be, well, if the U.S. just said, we're leaving, we're getting out, that the victors would be the worst characters in all of Iraq. There would be violence and chaos ensuing.
There's no question there's going to be some chaos. There are very seldom really good solutions to things. There are usually one has to choose between the least bad of several possibilities. What we have to figure out is what is the best way that we can do for our own interests and for the Iraqi interests. And what de Gaulle did was a very simple thing. He didn't really solve anything, but people would say he assuaged the pain. He said to the Algerian people, okay, we're all brave men. We've fought. We've done all these things. Now let's stop and let's go on with something else. And if we could go back now and say simply to the Iraqis, we're sorry so many people died since our occupation, that would itself begin the healing process.
William Polk, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, sir.
I've been talking with William Polk, who is the author of Understanding Iraq.